This is David Tyler, Director of Gateway Biblical Counseling and Training Center in Fairview Heights, Illinois, and you're listening to the Biblical Counseling Marriage and Family Podcast. If you'd like a copy of my book, Deceptive Diagnosis, When Sin is Called Sickness, you can get a free download at my website, davidtylerbooks.com. Today's episode, Why Should Counseling Be a Part of the Ministry of Our Church? Somebody said, we have all kinds of ministries going on. We've got Sunday morning ministry. We've got Sunday evening. We've got Wednesday. We have Bible studies, discipleship programs, Awana. We have a school. We have mission. Why in the world should we start another ministry? I mean, if we started a ministry every time someone came to our pastor and said, let's start this ministry or let's start that ministry, we'd be so busy, we wouldn't be effective. So why should counseling be part of the ministry of our church? There are two categories that people fall into when it comes to this question about counseling. Number one, counseling is optional. It's an optional ministry. It's like starting a school, having an Awana program, a food pantry, a clothing pantry. It's all optional. Number two, there are people who say it's not optional. In fact, they realize and say that counseling is commanded in Scripture. In the Bible, the word counseling is synonymous with discipleship. Counseling is that part of discipleship that ministers to people who have fallen into sin, pornography, adultery, bad temper. They're going through a trial, parenting problems, marital problems, or they're going through some kind of tribulation, difficulties, or tragedy, and they have questions which they have no biblical answers, like, why am I fearful? Why am I depressed or anxious? How can I change? I want to change, but I don't know how. Picture in your mind that the highway that runs out in front of your church is Discipleship Road. Now, Discipleship Road represents all the things that your church is doing to disciple people. You have a worship service, you have a Bible schools, you have a small group Bible studies, you have Awana, all kinds of things that you're doing to disciple people. Evangelism is your effort to get more people on Discipleship Road. Each automobile out there on Discipleship Road represents a Christian. Some people, you'll notice, they're moving steadily along. They're growing in the Lord and doing fine. When you win somebody to Christ, now they are on Discipleship Road. Is everything okay? No. Why? Because, you see, not everybody on Discipleship Road is rolling right along. They're not growing in the Lord. These are people that are they're taking advantage of all your discipleship programs that you offer, your preaching, your Bible studies, but they're over in the right lane, moving slow, sputtering along. They have problems. They have marital problems, family problems, depression. Or there's others that are off to the shoulder of the road. They're broke down. They're going through difficulties, financial, pornography, drugs, all kinds of difficulties. So you have the three different kinds of Christians out there on Discipleship Road, those that are moving right along, those who are kind of over in the right lane sputtering along, and those on the shoulder that are broke down altogether. Do you know anybody like that? Are you like that? Are you not growing? Are you stuck? Have you fallen into some sin? Do you have questions of which you have no biblical answers to? Like, I have a bad temper and I want to change, but I just don't know how to change. There are many people who fall into that category. The fact is that some time or another in all of our lives, we have troubles there on Discipleship Road. Now, here's the million-dollar question I want to ask. What's going to happen to those people out on Discipleship Road that are sputtering along or have broken down and are on the side? I've learned over the years that some churches are really good when it comes to evangelism. I've also learned that some churches are pretty good when it comes to discipleship. But the problem is, they don't know how to help those people on Discipleship Road that are sputtering along and broken down. You know, what do we do when we have trouble out on the highway in our car? Well, we call AAA. AAA comes out and they give you some gas, or they change your tire, they jump start your battery. In other words, AAA gets you going again. That's what biblical counseling does. Counseling is that part of discipleship that ministers to people's particular problems that hinder their growth. It's a concentrated form of discipleship. It's coming alongside that person, taking the Bible, addressing a particular area of the person's life where there's a problem. It's temporary. Your goal as a biblical counselor is to get them moving again, to get them experiencing normal discipleship growth. I think the church needs to do three things well. Number one, evangelism. Number two, discipleship. Number three, remedial discipleship. What's remedial discipleship? Well, remedial discipleship helps a person remedy a specific problem, anger, depression, or immorality, or marriage issues. It's an organized place in the ministry of your church where people who are stuck, not growing, need help, going through tribulation and difficulties. That's what I mean when I say biblical counseling. Well, why can't we just preach, teach, and pray? Preaching and teaching is larger than counseling. Preaching and teaching is the official public proclamation of the Word of God. Preaching is preventative. Preaching is like taking the flu shot to prevent you from getting the flu. Counseling is remedial. Person already has the flu. For example, your pastor preaches a sermon on Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you remember, that's the passage that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication," and so on. The pastor talks about faith and how God takes care of the birds and the lilies of the fields and how we're to seek the kingdom of God first. The sermon strengthens the people in the congregation. It strengthens them against worry and fear and so on. The question now is, what about that person in the congregation who's already anxious and fearful? What about the little girl who's afraid of the dark? Or what about the man who's afraid to be in crowds? The woman who's anxious, but she says she don't know why? You see, counseling is remedial. It remedies problems that people are experiencing right now. Another example, your pastor's preaching on Ephesians 4:29, where Paul says, "Let no unwholesome words proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." People learn how unwholesome words are sinful. Sermon is preventative. It's teaching these people. But what about the husband or the husband and wife out there in the congregation who have spoken unwholesome words to one another for years, and how those unwholesome words have led to all sorts of problems? Counseling addresses that specifically. Counseling is remedial. Your pastor preaches a sermon on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents." That child in the congregation hears that, and that child wants to please God. And so they're very sensitive about being obedient to their parents. You see, that preaching is preventative. Well, what about the child in that congregation whose rebelliousness has disrupted the whole family? They've been kicked out of school, in trouble with the law. Preaching deals with potential problems. Counseling addresses problems that have arisen in people's life now. Nouthetic counseling comes from a word, nouthesis, which is a noun, and noutheteo, which is a verb. Nouthetic counseling describes the kind of counseling that goes on in the Bible. There are three elements of nouthetic counseling. Number one, there's something in a person's life God wants to change. They're anxious. They're involved in an adulterous relationship. They have an anger problem. They have marital problems. Colossians 3:16 says we are to confront one another in order to admonish, warn, and rebuke. That word admonish, that's that word nouthetēo, the word used for counseling. The first element of nouthetic counseling is there's something in a person's life God wants to change. The second element is a person is confronted verbally. It's one person going to another person. It's like AAA. AAA pulls up alongside of you in order to help you get going. An example of nouthetic confrontation is Nathan, who confronts David, who had been involved in adultery. That's the second element, a verbal confrontation. And the third element is to glorify God and benefit the individual. 1 Corinthians 4:14, Paul writes, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish," there's that word, nouthetēo, "you as my beloved children." Whose ministry is this? It's the ministry of the whole church. Every Christian's ministry. Colossians 3:16, it says, to admonish, there's the word nouthetēo, one another. Who needs this ministry? Colossians 1:28 says, every man No one is exempt from needing this ministry. There are times when we all get bogged down on discipleship road, and we need a helper, somebody to come alongside us, a brother or a sister to come alongside us and help us. That's why we find all those one another passages in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14:3, care for one another. Galatians 5:13, love and serve one another. Ephesians 4:2, forbear one another. Forgive one another, admonish one another, edify, pray, restore, encourage. All these one another passages teach us how we all have this obligation. This nouthetic ministry, this counseling, brings the people of God together. It welds them together. It provides a method for handling problems that unites instead of divides. This is the ministry that God has provided to keep marriages from reaching the breaking point, family problems from reaching the breaking point. We see all sorts of problems, problems that drain the strength out of the church. Colossians 3:16 tells us the pastor can't do it alone. Paul didn't do it alone. Paul said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing, nouthetēo, one another." Romans 15:14, Paul is speaking to the congregation, and he says three things are associated with this nouthetic ministry. Number one, you must have a rich knowledge of Scripture. Verse 14 says, filled with all knowledge. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Number two, wisdom. Colossians 1:28. Wisdom speaks of how you use that knowledge of the word. Knowledge is what you need. Wisdom is how to use it. It's the ability to adapt the word of God to human situations, the ability to size up a problem and apply the word of God. And number three, full of goodness, Romans 15:14. Goodwill, compassion, concern toward others, like the Samaritan whose heart went out to the man laying in the ditch. Biblical counseling is a tremendous evangelistic tool. Unchurched people call our counseling center to talk to us. Your church needs to position itself in the community in order to reach the community. Position itself as being a place that loves people, a place that has trained members who can sit down and with the Word of God help people solve problems. You should want unbelievers who drive down the road in front of your church to look over and say, "This community is better because of that church." That church helps people that are hurting, and they don't even charge. Or they say something like, "I know people at work or in my family, a neighbor, who went there and got help and have told me how their life is much better." There are some places along Discipleship Road that have dangerous gullies and creeks. There's a guardrail along those areas. But if you look over that guardrail, you'll see at the bottom of that gully a hospital. The guardrail is like preaching. It prevents many cars from going into the gully. But every once in a while, a car traveling down Discipleship Road hits the guardrail, flips over, and crashes in the gully below. That hospital is biblical counseling. Thank you for listening. Be sure to go on my website, davidtylerbooks.com, and get your free download of Deceptive Diagnosis: When Sin is Called Sickness.